I am thankful to God for the privilege, the blessing to be with you today and to worship with you. May God bless us in the preaching and hearing of His precious word. Although we read those three scripture passages as background reading, the text of my sermon is found in Colossians chapter 1. And I will read only the verses that belong to our text, which are verses 25 through 29. Colossians 1, 25 through 29. Whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which has been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to His saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Whereunto I also labor, striving according to His working, which worketh in me mightily. Let us pray. We thank Thee, Heavenly Father, that Thou dost give to us Thy precious word. We ask that the lively preaching of Thy word will comfort our hearts and lead us in faith and repentance to embrace our Lord Jesus Christ Himself. May we hear Him through weak means, and yet those that Thou hast been pleased to adorn this day in this place. Bless Him who speaks, and we all who hear. We ask for the forgiveness of our sins, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. The Word of God in our text shows how the gospel so gripped the heart of the Apostle Paul in that he then would preach the gospel, he said, to every man. You notice that our text begins with whereof, because in the previous verse we have the body, the church, and he is referring the Apostle Paul to that body, the church, whereof he is made a minister according to the dispensation of God for you, which I fulfill. That is, not he himself, but that the word of God may be fulfilled and fully known. Clearly, the passages of Scripture that were read direct us to the same attention that we must give this morning. That God is pleased in the New Testament to ordain elders, ministers, the Church of Jesus Christ as a whole, to go into all the world and to preach the gospel. And Paul would labor, striving to preach, he said, to warn every man, teach every man, present every man perfect in Christ. The text, as we see in parallel passages like Ephesians 3, which was read, described the gospel, also here, as a mystery. I think that word mystery is exhilarating, exciting. The gospel itself, a mystery, that which was hid in ages and generations past, that we should now be recipients of that mystery, that is a miracle and a gift that God has been pleased to give to us. And what is that mystery? What is that wonder that God is pleased to perform for us now in the new dispensation and unto all eternity? Christ in you, the hope of glory. So this morning, for a few moments, we want to consider what the idea of a mystery is in the first place. And we shall see that that mystery is none other than divine revelation. God has the prerogative both to hide and then to make known the gospel to whomsoever He will by calling them out of darkness into his marvelous light. So that although the gospel must be preached, as Paul says, to every man, so that he will warn every man, so that he will be able to present every man in Jesus Christ, we understand that what he is saying is that it is both to the Jew and the Gentile. Both to those who he himself was addressing, as well as to the others in the churches that he will address in the other epistles. To every man, including the Colossians, to you and to me, Floridians, the mystery of the gospel is being and has been divinely revealed. But what does that mean, the mystery? And what exactly is that mystery? Christ in you, the hope of glory. We shall see then that this is to be proclaimed universally. Divine revelation. Secondly, glorious manifestation. And then finally, universal proclamation. The gospel itself is a mystery. And so, we want to take a few moments to try and understand, of course, the idea of a mystery. What is a mystery? A mystery in the scriptures means at least three things. First of all, that mystery, as the text speaks of, has been hidden in times past. And then now has been made manifest. So that the idea of mystery is something has been kept a secret. Something has been kept veiled. And then the time has come when that veil has been removed. And so now we understand fully and more clearly what had already been spoken of in the past but was not fully known, which then brings us to the second idea of a mystery, in that what God is pleased to do is to reveal that mystery, that gospel, progressively. We must be careful with that word progressive, because we do not mean by that that now in the New Testament we can apply the scriptures in whatsoever way we want and we can cut up the scriptures here and there. No, that's not what is meant. What is meant is that God is pleased over time to reveal his word developmentally. That word is revealed more and more clearly. It was hidden, made known, but now is made known in a far more glorious way than ever before. That's why Paul speaks of the riches of the glory of this mystery. He's astounded, he's gripped, and he would speak of that. Finally, that mystery in the Bible means that God has the prerogative both to hide and to make known. Even now, God is pleased to reveal his word to Jew and Gentile, but it is God who must open the hearts of his people and harden the hearts of the wicked who reject the gospel of Jesus Christ. God is sovereign. That is the mystery that we must understand this morning. 1 Corinthians 2, verses 7 and following make this so abundantly clear. That which was hidden was a mystery. I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither entered the heart of man, until the Spirit reveals it to men. For who has the mind of the Lord but the Spirit of Christ? And who can know the Spirit of God and understand the spiritual things of God unless he or she receives the Spirit, the Comforter, the Spirit of truth that God, Jesus Christ, has promised to give to us? Unless you have the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ in you, as we shall see, Jesus Christ himself in you, you cannot and will not have this hope of glory. Would to God that all who are sitting here this morning and listening to the gospel will ask, what is this mystery? How can I know more about this mystery? What is so glorious and precious about this mystery that God is pleased to reveal it to the world? So that question may be answered with come unto me, ye too who are heavy laden and burdened, and I will give you rest. Keeping word upon word, you see, the Apostle Paul would bounce off and bring forth this glorious mystery when he speaks of it as the riches of the glory of the mystery of Christ. You know, this riches and these glorious things of the gospel were already spoken of course, in the parallel passage as well as here in Colossians 1. And I will quote you just a couple of verses. In verses 15 and following, Paul had mentioned that Jesus Christ, who now lives in us, is the image of the invisible God, and that by Him and for Him all things were created. That's right. We are speaking about the mystery of God Himself when we speak of Christ in you, the hope of glory. We're speaking of Him who in the beginning was the Word, who was with God, and who was God Himself. What a glorious thing that we can come to church Lord's Day after Lord's Day and be able to understand who God is and what He does for us. Verses 19 and following, He has made peace with us through the blood of His cross so that we are now reconciled with God. Those are the riches of the glory of this mystery, that sinners like you and like me should be reconciled to the Almighty God. And that is why we beseech all men and we warn all men everywhere to come in repentance and faith and embrace this Lord Jesus Christ. Again, the text, you notice, says that God would make known these riches. There's an emphasis in the Greek there that He would make known. It is His will. It is the good pleasure of God to make known that which was hidden, to unveil this mystery today in this new dispensation, and yet to do so to His church, not to a particular denomination, but to His body, the invisible church that existed from the Old Testament all the way now to the New Testament, His people who often are a remnant. And you ask, how come? And you ask, what right does God have? And isn't he fair enough then to make this gospel known in such a way that all receive the Spirit and all can come to an understanding and believe? Well, I remind you that Jesus Christ Himself, who said, "Come unto me, ye that are heavy laden and burdened, and I will give you rest," said and prayed before He gave this call, "Father, I thank Thee that Thou hast hidden these things from the wise and the prudent, but hast revealed them unto babes." He thanks the Father for that wonder of the mystery, that God Himself, who is sovereign, has the right, of course He does, in His mercy, He saves whomsoever He will. So it is not of him that willeth, or him that runneth, but of God, always of God who showeth mercy. What then, beloved, is this mystery exactly? We've tried to explain what a mystery is, a secret that is made manifest by God to whomsoever He will, and we have mentioned what this mystery exactly points to. The riches of the glory of this mystery, the text says, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, not just for you, not just with you, not just your Savior by justification in that He died on the cross and His righteousness is placed upon you and your sins were placed upon Him. All that, of course, objectively, outside of us, all the doctrines that we come to understand of the mystery of the Trinity of God, one in being, three in persons, or the doctrine we've referred to the sovereignty of God and yet to the responsibility of man. Many things remain a mystery to us that yet have to be clearly, fully made known, and we need to be patient, but we understand so much already. Be thankful for that. Gaze with me at this mystery of Christ in you. Christ himself, the anointed prophet, priest, and king of his people, has been pleased to come by the anointing of the Holy Spirit to dwell in us. That's a mystery. The Messiah, the one who is God himself. So that in 1 Timothy 1 verse 3 we read, great is the mystery of godliness, that God himself was manifest in the flesh. God dwelling in me? What a mystery. How can that be? Except that God himself was pleased to condescend to be like unto us. So that though he has died and is ascended to Father's right hand, has been pleased to send forth his Spirit and dwell himself with us and in us. Paul speaks of that in Galatians when he makes clear that it is Christ with whom he is crucified. And yet he says, though I died with Christ, yet I live. Yet it is not I that lives, but it is Christ that liveth in me. We die in Christ. We are crucified to our sins. But we are alive because the seed of life is placed in our hearts, and that seed is none other than Jesus Christ. All along, we've read about this Jesus Christ in the Old Testament, of course. We read Isaiah 42 this morning. He is the elect. Did you know that? Peter says that in 1 Peter 2:16. He is the elect. Christ, the chief cornerstone. God says, my servant, the elect, will come. I will come in my Son, the Christ, in whom I have elected my people, and I will come with judgment to the Gentiles. And I will come as light to the Gentiles. And the Jews will become as light to usher in the Gentiles like us to know God, to know all the secret things about God. Hebrews 1 verse 1 tells us that, right? God in sundry times and in diverse manners was pleased to reveal himself to us. But now, by the express image of God, by his own Son, he has been pleased to make his face open. And in his face, though we do not see him physically, in the face of Jesus Christ himself, we see God. God. God has come to dwell in our hearts. How is that possible? At least for two reasons. One is because God is pleased to reveal, as he did at Pentecost, his Holy Spirit. Now, of course, his Spirit was present, Isaiah 60 and many, many passages in the Old Testament. But in the fullness of time, as we celebrate Pentecost, we know that God was pleased to usher in the New Testament when his Spirit fell upon his people. You are the temple of God, the temple of the Holy Spirit. You. Because God is pleased to dwell in you, in your hearts. And that's only possible by his Spirit. Praise God that he dwells in our hearts by his Spirit, the Holy Spirit. That's how you know Christ is in you, as the Holy Spirit dwells in you, sanctifying you, leading you more and more to understand the mystery of Christ, that statue that was unveiled, so that more and more you say, wow, what a wonder, even though I may not fully understand it all, this mystery I receive by faith because Christ in me is graciously revealing these things to me. And ultimately and secondly, this is possible, beloved, that Christ is in us because of the covenant. The covenant of God that God should come and dwell with us, so much so that he came as Emmanuel, but now the whole idea of the covenant becomes fully known. I will be your God. You will be my people. I will come dwell with you. How is that possible? In Revelation 21, behold, he heard the voice that from heaven came down, the bride of Christ, and God said, behold, I am with you now and forevermore. No more death, no more suffering, no more pain, no more tears, because of the covenant. God is pleased to make us his people. So go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Explain to them that the promise is unto you and to your children, as well as those to whom God is pleased to call from afar off, and do so without any shame. Because this mystery, Christ in you, is also the hope of your glory. It's not only for now. In fact, this mystery that has been revealed is yet to be made fully manifest. That's what hope is, right? If you can see fully what you have now, then what would you hope for, Paul asks. But hope is that which is in the future. It's not hope in the sense of, man, I hope it will be cooler today, or I hope to do this or that. That's a flimsy way we use hope. But hope in the scripture is a certain expectation. That is our hope. That's our faith. The hope of glory. We have that hope. As sure as you have Christ in you now and the earnest of the Holy Spirit in you now, so sure you can be of that hope of glory that is to come. At the judgment throne, when all men, every man, stand before God, then we, his people, instead of facing the wrath of God, will receive the crown, the glorious crown of righteousness, because it is promised to all those who fear him and love his appearing. Do you fear him? Do you love his appearing? Are you looking for that glorious day? It's because Christ is living in you now, and because you know that he's coming again, and you are desiring and praying and hoping, come, Lord Jesus, come quickly. You see, that itself is a mystery. Christ revealed, but we don't know fully, and then we shall see him face to face. Now Christ in you, but then more and more he will be revealed to us in heaven. And that is a mystery, people, of God, that he will reveal to whomsoever he will. Be humble about it. Be thankful for it, rather than question God. Acknowledge with the scriptures, oh, the riches of the glory of this mystery, that Christ lives in me, and he is the hope of my glory. And Paul says, and because it has gripped him so much, and because he's a servant of the church and a servant of Christ and a servant of the word, he says, I will preach this to every man. I will warn every man. I will teach every man in all wisdom. And of course, Paul could not mean every in the sense of hate for hate, right? I mean, he lived at a certain period of time and in that dispensation, but he meant everyone that God is pleased to put upon his path, and everyone in every audience that God is pleased to place in his path. He will not make a distinction between Jew and Greek, young or old, male or female. He will not make a distinction between God's people in the United States or in other countries, as we today will have, and which our brothers so faithfully prayed for, lands of persecution, lands where they are in distress. We have this desire. You know, the PCA has as its founding mission to be reformed, remember, to be biblical, remember, and to be mission-minded. That's our roots. We must proclaim the gospel. We must go to every creature that God has placed on the pathway of our life. And we must reach out and not say, well, you know, they can come here. I'm so thankful to hear that you have a Spanish ministry, that you are reaching out also to those of other languages and other backgrounds. May God continue to give us that heart. The gospel so grip us that we want to and desire to make this known to every man. Here's the statue, beloved. Christ Jesus, our Lord Himself. Come to dwell among us, and then remember at the ascension, with His open arms, ascending up and announcing by the Spirit that by the same manner He has gone, He will come. And He's sitting at the right hand of God. That's the mystery of Jesus Christ, His arms wide open, that this mystery may be revealed to all, to every man, all kinds of people, to you, to me. Let us uncompromisingly, unashamedly preach the whole counsel of God, but let us do so, as the text says, laboring, striving zealously, and knowing that this can only be done by the work which worketh in us mightily. That word mightily is a powerful word, and I'll end with that. You know what that word is originally? Dynamo. Which, of course, from which we get the word dynamite. It's not by our own strength, people of God. Don't be ashamed of sowing the seed of the truth of the Scriptures. It's the dynamite of God who itself and Himself will give us the grace to do the work. May God bless us as we make known the mystery of Christ as He has made it known even to us. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank Thee that Thou art pleased to reveal that mystery also to us. What a privilege. And we are mindful that this is all of Thy grace. And we pray, give us thankful hearts that we may continue to worship Thee now and all the days of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.